98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit, is what I hear every single day. It's the greatest radio show ever.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
Good morning and welcome.
I love this show.
Me too.
It's the greatest radio show
really
that's ever existed.
It really, really
in
is.
In case you needed a refresher for the new version of the prolonged open.
Let's cut the crap, Mr. Murata.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. Welcome one, welcome all to what is shaping up to be a very interesting day of basketball in the Valley. We have got a Phoenix Suns Utah Jazz showdown and a vacancy sign on top of the U Arizona's basketball program.
My only problem with what you said is don't include them in the Valley. But
you're exactly right.
Okay, nitpicker. That's how we're going to start today. Led Zeppelin once said, it's been a long time since we've rock and rolled, or since I've rock and rolled. That's the way I feel about the Suns game tonight. I feel like this is something, this game and the vibe around this game is the beginning of something. This game is by no means a conclusion, but it feels like this is the beginning now of the gauntlet.
I think it's a great way to frame it.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
It feels like they waded through these games that were, okay, they're on the schedule, you got to play them, don't apologize for beating these teams, maybe apologize if you lose to these teams, but yeah, the season, as it will be defined for the Phoenix Suns, in a lot of ways begins tonight.
Yep. Sports bars will be crowded with Suns fans, not Twins fans, not Raptors fans. Well, maybe that's a stretch.
Well, I hope the game's on. That's all I
know. Well, it better be. It better be. So, there you go. All right, we got a big show on tap. Big news coming out of Tucson this morning. Let's get it rolling, Carlin.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
Yeah, we start the Splash today. Normally we'd be starting with the Phoenix Suns talk, but big news coming out of Tucson from this morning. Jeff Goodman, Jeff Borzello, among the first to report that the Arizona basketball program now does have a vacancy at head coach. Sean Miller being let go. After 12 years on the job in Tucson, the Wildcats played in seven tournaments, NCAA tournaments, of course, under sanctions and investigation with the FBI, had a lot to do with this as well, but it's been a few lean years after that investigation was launched. And Sean Miller, who just recently, last month, got a vote of confidence of sorts from the administration at the University of Arizona, out as their head coach.
This is really what's interesting to me. What exactly was the tipping point in the relationship between Sean Miller and University of Arizona? Because they had really dug in with him in their trench of defiance. How's that? In their trench of defiance.
I like that.
Yeah, and so what exactly changed? What made them move off of this guy right here and now? Was it the sight of a guy like Scott Drew winning a national championship? Was it really looking these notice of allegations in the face? Was it getting an idea of what the NCAA has in store for you? I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I do think University of Arizona finally made the right decision here.
Coach Miller is our coach. We're working with him about remaining our coach. Coach Miller is our coach.
That was from last month.
That's last month. What's changed in the last month?
Maybe the availability of a very attractive candidate to take over that program and guide them back to what they once were.
Who would that be?
I don't know.
Nate Oates, Eric Musselman.
I said this on Doug and Wolf, and I'll continue to say this. They need to get back to somebody who has a connection to the Lute Olson era.
Okay.
And some of his players, Damon Stoudemire's had some success as a coach.
Miles Simons had some success.
Yep. Luke Walton.
Luke Walton.
Face mask. Pastner.
And I went
Josh Pastner.
Josh Pastner.
Yeah.
I went Outer Limits, and I brought up the name Steve Kerr.
I love that idea. I don't know if Steve Kerr would want any of that job, but can you imagine bringing in Steve Kerr with the staff of Jason Terry, Miles Simon, Damon Stoudemire? That would put the Wild back into Wildcat.
I don't know if Damon Stoudemire would give up a head coaching job to be an assistant.
No, you're right.
But
it's a Pacific.
But hey, if we're just throwing stuff out there.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It is a big day and a big night for the Phoenix Suns. We're branding it Suns Day here at 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. That's because the only team the Suns are looking up at in the Western Conference standings is here for a nationally televised tangle. The Utah Jazz, owners of the West's best record at 38-12, are facing the 35-14 Suns tonight at Phoenix Suns Arena with increased capacity. It's the second of three matchups between the teams. The Suns took Chapter 1 on New Year's Eve 106-95, and the Jazz just had a nine-game winning streak snapped by the Dallas Mavericks on Monday night, and they've only lost back-to-back games twice on the season. ESPN's got the national broadcast, Bally Sports Arizona Extra has the action on TV here locally, and you can hear it right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, with pregame coverage beginning at 5. Now, I get to find out what 5,500 Suns fans in the building sounds like tonight.
Wow. That's good. It's a good time for the spike, if you will. I'm really excited about this. This is going to be a little mini test and the first of many tests to come, but I just don't know what you're going to get. There's a fascinating amount of anticipation with this game.
Yeah, the NBA also expecting full arenas for the 2021-2022 season. Baxter Holmes of ESPN wrote yesterday, a key aspect toward that effort is the NBA's new multi-year league-wide partnership with Clear, which is a biometric screening company known for its expedited security process at airports worldwide. Larry Scott called this partnership a groundbreaker, a game changer. So that's potentially good news. D-backs played their first game of 2021 at Coors Field last night, and it turned out to be like every other game played at Coors Field. Took 4.5 hours, 13 innings, but the Snakes win 10-8. Arizona led 5-4 in the ninth with two outs, but Sam Hilliard sent it to extras with a towering solo blast off Chris Devensky. D-backs took one-run leads in the 10th and 12th, and the Rockies answered both times, and then in the 13th, Steven Vogt, who had himself a game, also had an RBI single, and Ketel Marte delivered a two-run double, scoring Vogt and relief pitcher Matt Peacock, and the D-backs made it stand up.
I did this game right. I went and saw John Cleese perform last night, so I got home just when extra innings began. So I did the game right, and I'm watching this going, okay, I've got a couple questions here. Number one, who is Matt Peacock? And number two, how is he getting out of these jams? And for one night only, it was a remarkable story for the Diamondbacks. But lest you get too crazy with this stuff, I would say there are no Matt Peacocks on the Dodgers or the Padres roster. Nah. See what I'm saying there?
I don't know. They got Max Muncy. Who was he at one point?
Okay.
Yeah, Chris Taylor. He was a throwaway. Justin Turner at one point.
Hey, listen, for one night, it was a great baseball story for a guy that nobody had any expectations.
Yeah, it was.
At least I didn't.
Yeah, you set marks last night.
You did.
I'll quote Judge Smales here, Bick. The world needs mad peacocks, too. Is that how the line goes?
Ditch diggers. Whatever.
Back-to-back wins for Arizona. Game 2 in Denver on tap tonight. Madison Bumgarner against Antonio Senzatella. First pitch at 5:40. Pregame coverage starts at 5 here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Coyotes back at it tonight as well. Winners of six of their last seven. The Yotes take on the LA Kings at Staples Center this evening in a game that gets underway just after 7. And Nike announcing today it has suspended its endorsement deal with Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson over sexual misconduct allegations. In a statement released to CNBC, Nike said, quote, "We are deeply concerned by the disturbing allegations and have suspended Deshaun Watson. We will continue to closely monitor the situation." 22 women have filed lawsuits against Watson alleging sexual assault and misconduct. And on Friday, the Houston Police Department said they have opened an investigation after a complainant filed a report about Watson.
Yeah, and so now it is at a different level of seriousness, and I don't think Deshaun Watson's going anywhere.
I think you're right on the money there. There you go. There's your splash for Wednesday, April 7th. And we're reacting on the fly, just like the college basketball world right now. We'll get into it. Sean Miller, done at Arizona after 12 years. We'll react and discuss next. Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Done.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Marotta.
Yeah, lots of Suns talk coming up today on the Wednesday show as they get ready to take on the Utah Jazz in a very important game for the Suns coming up tonight. But news from down south today, it is out there. Jeff Goodman, Arizona alum himself, put it out there with a tweet at 9:30 a.m. Breaking, Arizona has parted ways with Sean Miller. Sources told Stadium, spent 12 years at Arizona, had 1 year left on his contract. Miller was charged with head coach responsibility for failure to promote an atmosphere of compliance. Administration stuck by Miller for 4 years.
Yeah.
That could be one of the initial questions that people are asking. If you were that defiant, that supportive, that behind your head coach for 4 years, what indeed did change from last month until now? And that led me to speculate. There is an availability of a high-profile head coaching candidate who's got interest in bringing Arizona basketball back to what it was.
That might be, yeah. Do you know something you're not telling us?
Well, no. I have no sources in Tucson. I have watched them play basketball before, but I don't have any sources.
Well, you're saying maybe, it with a certain ballast, if you will.
Well, I mean, what else could it be?
No, listen, I think you're right. Forgive me if I keep repeating this point, but I find it profound. If Arizona at one point in time was going to side with programs like Kansas and say, I don't care what you think, NCAA, we're doing things the way we want to do it. And if Kansas is still doing that by giving Bill Self a lifetime contract, why did Arizona go the exact opposite route and fire Sean Miller? I was told both those programs are going to be acting almost identically to the NCAA. Is it because of what Vinny said? That might be really a moment of clarity for the folks down in Tucson, because by my way of keeping score, Sean Miller obviously can recruit, but there's not a whole lot else that comes with that package. And there's also a level of community disengagement that I just can't get by, and I can't understand. You look at Jed Fish, who's gone down there and taken over that football program. He hasn't coached a game yet. He has done more in terms of community outreach than Kevin Sumlin and Sean Miller did combined. And he hasn't even coached a game yet. And so you ask yourself, why would you operate like this? Why would you have to be this us-against-the-world kind of mentality? I don't know. I don't know why he chose to be like that. Maybe because he was running a dirty program. I don't know. But I do know that what changed. A month ago, Arizona, hey, this is our guy. You might be onto something, Vinny. They might have just asked themselves, okay, is this guy really worth the hassle?
Yeah.
Can we do better than this
guy? I know you wrote recently that he wasn't worth the hassle.
He isn't.
Sean Miller had changed recently. This is from April 4th. He actually made an appearance on social media.
Hey, Adia. Staff and the great women's basketball team, congrats on your amazing win against UConn. I know that's now over. The focus is on winning the national championship. Best of luck. Keep playing with that chip on your shoulder. Keep playing that great defense that's inspiring everybody. And Ari, you keep being the best player in college basketball. Go Cats, bear down. Pulling for you. Let's go win that national championship.
Now, we had actually commented kind of tongue-in-cheek on, Jed Fish was at a game during Arizona women's basketball and they're running the NCAA tournament. Where was Sean Miller? I was actually surprised to see that pop up on social media the other day.
And maybe because he felt shamed by it. Here's the football coach hosting viewing parties for his football team.
Yeah, and here we are 3 days later and Sean Miller's out of a job. Some of the reaction is pretty interesting, as you might expect. Austin Miller is the son of Sean Miller. Tweeted out 302-109, 73% winning percentage, 3-time Pac-12 Coach of the Year, 5-time Pac-12 Conference Champions, 3-time Pac-12 Conference Tournament Champions, FIBA U19 Gold Medal, 2 Sweet 16s, 3 Elite 8s. How can you have more Elite Eights than Sweet 16s? That doesn't jive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
I wish
eliminated in the Sweet 16.
That well, you have times. To make the Sweet 16 to get to the Elite Eight.
Right, right, right.
It'd be more impressive to say we made it to the Sweet 16 five times.
It'd be more impressive if they said Final Four at any point.
Yeah,
in those.
That didn't make the tweet, but he also said, I wish athletic director Robbins luck in finding someone to fill those shoes, which is a shot at the university president, Robert Robbins, who's not the athletic director.
Mm-hmm.
He's the president of the university. Dave Hickey is the athletic director. Some people coming out, some former players, Dusan Ristich among them, saying, I don't like this. Alonzo Trier, he responded to somebody who said Arizona basketball fans should be thrilled, and he said, nah, I don't have any feelings one way or the other. I'm not a U of A fan, obviously. My gut tells me, you can list the accolades of Sean Miller, and because of partially because of a self-imposed sanction on postseason play, they didn't make the tournament this year.
Yep.
They didn't, they suffered consequences due to an FBI investigation. The head coach was at the center of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're listing Arizona, one of Arizona's accomplishments is making the NCAA tournament seven times in 12 years. That's not good enough for the standard that had been set for by those who came before you.
20 times in 20 years was a good precedent.
That's a pretty good precedent. That's a pretty good standard to live up to. And at the heart of it, that program is not the same as it was.
Yeah.
Not even considering all the allegations.
That to me is kind of what puts it over the top. I'll share a quick story just for way of what his attitude was with the media. And again, as a media member and as a guy that spent my life in that business, I was never under the illusion that coaches owe you anything, information, kindness, any of that kind of stuff. But when I went down to interview Sean Miller, drove down to Tucson, you know, that takes a little bit of effort. And we sat down and we had a really good interview. And at the end of it, he just says to me, yeah, the only reason I did this is because Greg Burns said you were a pretty cool dude. And I'm like, why would you say that to me? Why would you express such contempt?
Otherwise, I would have spit towards you.
Well, what good is served by that? It's just a bad strategy, in my opinion, to kind of draw lines in the sand and keep, you know, community partners at arm's length and stuff like that. It's you just create a lot of people who are not cheering for you to succeed, and that's human nature.
That go back to Phoenix line.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to alienate the biggest city in. I don't know everything about him.
What are you,
annoying me,
Jared? Come on, you spent time in Tucson. Their whole MO is
great.
Alienating Phoenix.
That's true. Here's so Jeff Goodman, who was one of the people who broke the story today. This is him giving sort of the inside info on what went down and the latest on everything.
As an Arizona alum, I think it was time. I thought it was going to happen last night. So I was fighting it last night because I got like 3 hours of sleep two nights ago. Got home, drove to Chicago, flew home, and he had a long meeting last night, like an hour and a half. And there was no resolution at the end of it, which I was shocked about. But the longer the meeting went, the more you felt like, all right, nothing was going to happen this meeting. You know, from what I was told, according to my sources, it was Dr. Robbins, the president, Dave Hickey, the AD. And they basically were kind of pressuring him almost, you know, hey, you sure you even want to coach this year? And seeing if he would quit so they didn't have to pay him the $1.5 million. This conversation had happened about a month or so ago. And Sean's whole deal was, listen, if you want to fire me, fire me, according to my sources. You know, he wanted to get the 1.5. I don't blame him at this point. So they brought him back in this morning, and it didn't work, obviously, and they fired him this morning.
Wow. And I don't blame Sean Miller in that little tidbit, too, and I trust Jeff Goodman's reporting on this. I don't blame Sean Miller one bit for standing his ground and saying, hey, if you want to fire me, fire me. Don't present it as if, do you even want a coach so you can wiggle out of $1.5 million? That's pretty.
Yeah,
that's pretty.
Well, but again, he was charged with head coach responsibility for failure to promote an atmosphere of compliance. You can fire somebody for cause with that language.
Sure.
This happened 3 years ago.
And that's the other thing.
You idiots, you stood behind them for 3 years. You knew all this stuff.
Yeah, that's what's really, really fascinating to me. What changed that made Arizona go, we're not sticking by this guy anymore? Maybe Vinny's right. Maybe they've got a better guy in mind, and maybe that's why they wanted him to quit, and maybe that's why they wanted to kind of cut back on the money they still owe him or might fight to pay him. I don't know. It's just fascinating that they stuck by him for so long and now bailed on him.
Well,
because this last year's basketball team, you'd be tempted to paint it as a success.
And next year, I just saw some preseason rankings.
Yeah,
they're top 15, 16 in the country next year.
I wonder how this affects what they're putting together for next year, obviously. Could be a big factor. But here's another factor. We can circle back around to this when we bring it up again. Arizona went 11-9 in the Pac-12, a conference that produced a Final Four team, three Elite Eight teams, and was the story of the NCAA tournament. They had a better record than Oregon State. They were right there with UCLA, a couple games behind. But was that frustration based on, from a competitive standpoint, this might have been our year. Had we not imposed these sanctions due to this lack of lack of environment of compliance, could we have made some noise in the NCAA tournament? They'll never know the answer to that question, but did that add to the frustration?
And how about Adia Barnes taking the women's team to the championship game? Did that affect anything one way or another? I don't know. It's fascinating timing, I'll say that much.
Yep, it is. Also fascinating tonight, Phoenix Suns hosting the Utah Jazz, top two teams in the Western Conference in downtown this evening. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
It's Suns Day, brought to you by Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzer. Previewing tonight's Western Conference matchup versus the team with the best record in the NBA, the Utah Jazz, which tips off tonight at 7 on the home of Phoenix Suns basketball. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns Day with Bickley and Marotta.
We want to win every game when we go out there. So, obviously, these are two top teams in the West that, I'm sure that we'll see. Down the line at some point maybe. So, every game counts. I know we're going to be locked in. We're going to be ready. So, it's exciting.
Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns after the win over Houston on Monday, talking about this pivotal back-to-back, and it starts tonight against the Utah Jazz. Yes, the only team in the Western Conference with a better record than the Phoenix Suns going into tonight's contest.
Yeah, listen, this is on paper, this is fascinating. You got Devin Booker and Donovan Mitchell. You got Chris Paul and Mike Conley. You got DeAndre Ayton and Rudy Gobert. You've got the 1 and 2 seeds. This looks really good on the marquee, is what it does to me. And I think in situations like this, there's always more to gain for the lower seeded team or the higher seeded team.
Uh-huh.
So I think there's more to gain and for the Suns and more to lose for the Jazz, given just where they're slotted in the standings. But it's also a home game, and I think that I'm not sure there are going to be any real valid conclusions to draw from this, but I do think a really good performance from either of these teams will be a badge of legitimacy. This is almost like a coming out party nationally for these two teams to a nation that just obsessively focuses on the Clippers, the Lakers, the Heat, the Celtics,
Yeah, kind of new blood.
Yeah, it's kind of new.
And the Suns have gotten more of that new blood feel this year with, picking up Chris Paul. And they, in the first half of their schedule especially, had a lot of nationally televised games. But, when you get a nationally televised game in a schedule that was put together on the fly, by the way, and they get this one tonight on ESPN, that means something. I think it means a little bit more. Those national television appearances in the first half of the season, there's a little bit of novelty mixed into that.
Yeah.
This is about competitiveness. This is about two teams that can make some noise in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see what it's like. Couple members of the Jazz gave their assessment of the Phoenix Suns. Royce O'Neal, one of their bench players.
They're a great team. Coach really well. They play physical and aggressive. They play fast. So I think we just got to match their intensity. Our defense is going to keep us in the games, share the ball on offense,
execute the game plan that coach has planned for us and then go from there.
My apologies to Royce O'Neal. He's actually started every game he's played in this year, so not a bench player. Here's Donovan Mitchell breaking down the Suns.
Book is book. You know, he's a all-star for a reason. You know, he's been doing this his whole career. You add Mikal Bridges, who, you know, is coming in, locking in as a defender. DeAndre Ayton can do his thing down low. Then you got Jay Crowder, who's a physical presence. You know, obviously we know Jay. Then you add the mind of CP. You know, you add the mind of CP with the skill of Book. You know, that's definitely you see why they're in second place. And I think that's really, you know, an underrated thing with Chris Paul and just his knowledge of the game and putting guys in situations. And then you add, you add their bench unit. You know, they do a lot of things well. They rotate, they're aggressive, they're physical, they hit shots. You know, they're a pretty diverse team, you know, in that way. So I think that's what makes them really talented, you know, and they've done things that they've been doing, but just at a higher level, I think, this year. And I think that's what makes them a unique team, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think you hit on this, and I think this is another one of the interesting ingredients about this particular game, Vic, and that is these two teams have a lot in common.
Oh, a ton.
A lot in common.
Yep, they do.
They've had
built on defense and good shooting.
And they've had consistency in their starting lineups. I'm looking at the Jazz stats. They've had you know, three different players start 50 games. Donovan Mitchell's missed a couple of games. Mike Conley's been, he's missed about 10 games. But they've had everybody pretty much in their rotation healthy all year.
Yeah.
Suns have basically had that same thing, you know, outside of a couple games here and there in the first half of the season. That's another thing to look for tonight. Which bench plays better?
Look at these mirror images of each other as basketball teams go, built on shooting and defense, all right? Points per game, the Jazz are at 116.9, the Suns 114.6, but points allowed, they're right neck and neck. Utah, 108 points allowed, Phoenix 107.4. Field goal percentage, the Jazz 46.8, the Suns 49%. So the Suns a little better shooting team, okay? Rebounding, the Jazz get an edge, they're 48.2 per game to the Suns 43.3. Assists, the Suns rate a little edge, are a better passing team, 27 assists a game to 24. The blocks and the steals are, the blocks are in Utah's favor because of Rudy Gobert, but the steals are almost identical, and both teams are 9-1 in their last 10 games. And this is really, as we talked about with Doug and Wolf this morning, given the relative full strength of both lineups, and with all due respect to Frank Kaminsky and Abdul Nader, this is about as level of a playing field as you might hope to expect in a regular season NBA game. Now, there might be some late scratches and all that kind of stuff. You never know in the NBA.
Yeah.
But this looks like it just fits the moment.
Yeah, I know I mentioned it in the splash. The Suns had beaten the Jazz early on in the season, basically in the first week of the season. Neither one of these teams were what they are now back then. Mm-hmm. They were kind of finding their way. The Jazz lost that game. They were 2-2. The Suns won that game. Jazz didn't shoot the ball well. It's interesting to note, too, though, you talked about, you know, individual matchups. Rudy Gobert against DeAndre Ayton. Rudy Gobert is a handful. DeAndre Ayton is coming off a game where he played well but didn't really go up against a traditional five, especially one as good defensively. The first meeting between these two teams, I mean, DeAndre Ayton tied a season high last game.
Mm-hmm.
That game against Utah is a season low. They won a game where DeAndre Ayton was 2 of 8 from the floor and scored 4 points.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
I don't think that can repeat itself tonight.
No, I agree with that. And this is kind of the thing that, and I'm not going to put a number on this, and I'm not trying to dog DeAndre Ayton because I think he's been pretty good recently. But I will say that there have been games against Rudy Gobert and other bigs that he has had that sense of wonderment and awe, like, oh, I can't believe how good that guy is and how strong that guy. Tonight I want him to take the court feeling like I'm going to win this battle. And it's just a look. It's just a vibe. That's all.
Yeah.
And I think he can do that. I think he's been in the league long enough now where you don't have to defer to guys. And again, if he just stays engaged and plays hard, everything just falls into place, at least from my way of being. Now, tonight will be interesting to see if he can stay out of foul trouble, you know?
Yeah, I mean, guarding Gobert in the post is not that daunting. Now, he has had games where he's gotten to the free throw line a lot, but he's not a focal point offensively, mostly just lobs to Rudy Gobert. His presence is rebounding and defense. But yeah, I mean, DeAndre Ayton with all the switching that the Suns do and basically every team does now, it is imperative that he stays out of foul trouble. But it's also, I mean, and I brought up the bench, the Jazz have maybe the leading contender for sixth man of the year in Jordan Clarkson, who has just been like microwave hot coming off the bench this year offensively. The Suns bench is going to have to play better than it did against Houston, too, if they want to win tonight.
Yeah, and look, if the Suns win tonight, that lead for the number one seed is down to 1.5 games.
True.
And you have the tiebreaker on them,
mm-hmm.
courtesy of your earlier victory.
Yeah, so, you would have won the season series with a win tonight, too, which would be big.
Which is big. So a lot on the line, and both teams pretty much full strength. I think there's a certain... there's a certain vibe to this game that's going to be reflected in the way these guys play. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
It is Suns Day. The two best teams in the NBA meet tonight. Suns take on the Utah Jazz in a Western Conference showdown. Tip-off is at 7 o'clock here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Suns Day is brought to you by Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzer. Coming up next, Coors Field, gonna Coors Field. It certainly did last night, and that was a good thing for the Diamondbacks. We'll get into it. And take a look at Madison Bumgarner making his second start of the year next. It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Cattell swings and rips a base hit into the gap in left center field. In his vote, Peacock goes to third base. They're going to wave him home. Here comes the throw-in. It will not be made. Peacock scores from first. It's a two-run double by Marte, and the Diamondbacks now lead it 10-7. Ready on the pitch to Hilliard, and it's strike three. Call got him looking, and this one's over. First career strikeout for Peacock. He gets a win, and the Diamondbacks get a win. They beat the Rockies tonight by a final score of 10-8.
Greg Schulte on the final call and the highlight from the top of the 13th inning. Cattell Marte's two-run double. Yeah, there's a Matt Peacock sighting. Yeah. He was instrumental in the win last night. It was a very Coors Field type of game. The Diamondbacks survive a three-home run night against them.
Yeah.
That's just Coors Field, man.
Yeah.
And it was a good win for the Diamondbacks.
Weird stuff happens, man.
Yeah, especially after falling behind early to come back. I don't want to – we had similar experiences today listening to Doug and Wolf, and there was a lot of giddiness about that win.
Yeah.
I want the Diamondbacks to prove wins like this are not temporary, and I'm not at all – confident that they're able to do that right now. Again, yeah. We talked about bright spots yesterday. There's been a bunch of them. Cattell Marte is on fire.
Mm-hmm. He's doing everything you would hope that he would be doing.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, including myself, hoped that he could get back to close to what he was in 2019.
He's
been one of the best players in baseball so far.
No, listen, and I love that because that makes me feel like, okay, maybe this guy is that dynamic star player that you can build a team of young guys around. And so I'm really stoked about that. Like I said, I got in late last night. I caught all of the extra innings, and I was fascinated by this Matt Peacock guy, a kid who's from South Alabama, a guy who was on the taxi squad yesterday, activated to the active roster because of an injury, and he's out there pitching in an extra inning situation and just having all the poise in the world. It was a great moment for him. It was a good moment for the Diamondbacks. I won't say great. They gave up a couple of late leads, blew a save in the ninth inning. But I think for what it is, you can celebrate it. But it doesn't change a long view at all. Now, if they come out today and Madison Bumgarner, you know, fires a seven hit, two run, seven inning kind of game, you might go, maybe.
One thing to consider though is, on the list of teams and their respective expectations, the Rockies are below the Diamondbacks this year. There is a feeling of just being gut punched by baseball fans in Denver. They traded Nolan Arenado and threw in a boatload of money to get rid of their best player and got nothing in return. So the Rockies aren't supposed to be good.
No, they're not. And they're supposed to be worse than you as the Diamondbacks. So, yeah, listen, I think that they've got a long way to go before my excitement meter really ratchets up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But for what it was, that was a really nice moment because after that first extra inning, when the Rockies came up in the bottom of the 10th, I want to say, the Rockies did not give up a run. And I thought, okay, this, they're going to lose this game right here. And they just, this Matt Peacock kid just kept getting ground balls. Yeah. Weak hit ground balls. So, you know what? Props to them. It was just, it was a really cool night for him. But as I said earlier, and I don't mean to marginalize it, these are not the kind of players you find on rosters of the Dodgers and the Padres, because they're not in the weird situation the Diamondbacks have. Last night it worked.
Yeah, it did. Diamondbacks.
I'm also thinking this closer by committee thing might not be good.
When is it ever good?
Never, ever, ever. I was thinking that last night.
Mm-hmm.
It never, ever works, and yet they still always do it, teams.
Well, yeah, last night it was Devenski getting touched up for the home run by Hilliard. Starting the game, Luke Weaver, a lot of eyeballs on him to see how he came out of a very rocky spring where, let's face it, if Zach Gallen's healthy, Luke Weaver's probably not in the five-man rotation to begin the season.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't stupendous. It was,
wasn't
awful. I mean, no. Three solo home runs in 5 2/3 innings, those are the only runs he gave up. Here was Lovello on Weaver start.
Yeah, I think, you know, Luke is still a young pitcher and still trying to grow and learn every day and with every outing. So, yeah, he had a rugged year last year. And I know that he has a lot to prove to himself. It was a great start. And, you know, he limited the damage and he pitched into the sixth inning. And, you know, he probably could have given us a couple more batters, but we turned it over to the bullpen and they did their job there. So I thought overall he did a fantastic job, and I just wanted to keep building off of what he gave us today.
Yeah, and the bullpen, the highlight of that was obviously Matt Peacock. Here's Torrey Lovello sharing some of the story and giving his thoughts on Peacock's performance.
It is. It really is. It's going to be something that we're going to talk about for a long time. You know, I know player development is watching and they should be extremely proud of how they prepared him, coached him, and Matt accepted that coaching. And he walked right into a situation with an incredible heartbeat that we knew of and executed. And that's really what it came down to. So he deserved it. He deserved everything that he got today. He's been waiting for this opportunity for his whole career. And the way he went out there and attacked and made pitches, kept balls on the infield when you needed to. It was an unbelievable night for Matt, and I know that he's going to have many more really solid nights for us.
I know Doug brought this up. This is amazing to me, and this is going to change a bit mm-hmm. because of the changes in minor league baseball. In his first 2 years in college at South Alabama, Matt Peacock pitched 14 innings total. Then he left the team. Then he came back, pitched 50 innings in his last year. Still somehow got to be drafted in the 23rd round, which is only, you know, it was like 17 rounds after the 23rd round,
yeah.
682nd overall, and had never pitched higher than Double-A before last night.
Wow.
And in 2019, a Jackson in Double-A actually had a really good year as a starter, 8-4 with a 2.97 ERA. But people love stories like that. Now the story becomes great if it could be maintained.
Well, and that's a big thing. Do Diamondbacks fans really believe that last night the team unveiled this great bullpen arm that we didn't know they had? I don't think that's what happened last night. I think it was a 23rd round draft pick having himself one heck of a night, and that's good. You can celebrate that. I don't think Matt Peacock is suddenly going to be on the list of great prospects of the Diamondbacks. But that's just me.
Yeah, Peacock himself talked about making his debut in a fashion like that.
Well, they prepare us pretty well in spring training with throwing situations out. So it wasn't the situation that sped me up or anything. Only thing I can do is get the pitch, throw the pitch, and execute.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't and I'm not diminishing what Matt Peacock did. It wasn't the most daunting atmosphere for a visiting player last night.
Mm-hmm.
There was 10,000 fans there, and from what I could tell, there was only one guy that was watching the game and screaming before every pitch. Did you notice this?
Woo! Woo!
He'd be like, oh, nice pitch, before the pitch was even thrown. It's driving me nuts. That's one of the unexpected reactions to COVID era sporting events.
Yeah.
Is sometimes you just hear way too much of the fans.
If
they're a little overzealous. If there's 40,000 people in the ballpark last night, you're not noticing.
You're not
that.
Hearing that.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly right.
Also, we've kind of looked at this and you know, you extrapolate it moving forward. Torrey Lovello was asked after the game, what can a win like this for you do to the team early in the season?
Yeah, you know, you're still trying to figure out what type of team you are. And, anybody that's played sports at a high level, when you can go out and have these types of wins and make a statement, it's a push game and get you going for the next day. They're tough to come back from. We've had to from time to time, but these are those types of games you're looking for. And, today's win told me a lot about this team. And I felt like I knew this team, but today made it a little more special. I think this team's ready to come out tomorrow and try to duplicate their effort.
We shall see. And there's a lot of eyeballs on Luke Weaver as the number five starter. There's twice as many on Madison Bumgarner making his second start as right now, the de facto number one starter for this team. You don't like the environment that he's making this start in for a guy who has struggled to keep the ball in the ballpark at times, because, you know, the Rockies in a loss hit five home runs last night.
And this Ryan McMahon guy had three of them.
Ryan McMahon.
Jim McMahon.
Ed McMahon.
Saving Private Ryan.
Vince McMahon.
I knew you'd go to the wrestling card, Jared.
I was waiting for you. We got the Saving Private Ryan before I could get it in.
Left that one for you. Starting next Monday, we're giving you the chance every weekday to win $500. Text the word bonus to 620-620 to register and listen for your name at 7:35 a.m., 1:35 p.m., or 3:35 p.m. for your chance at the Arizona Sports signing bonus. Once again, that's bonus to 620-620. Coming up next, big game for the Suns tonight. Can it be a statement? Not only for the team, but for some of the individual players. We'll get into that and more next. It's Pickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.